Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, our guy Michael Felder is here at In the Bleachers, a college football analyst, and we were just chatting with Michael during the break before we came back here on air, and Michael was pointing out, well, there's one conference that I think is wide open, and as he's doing it, I'm like, yeah, we just had like a 20-minute conversation about how wide open the Heisman is, that we don't know anything after 8 weeks of football,
yeah.
And I think there's a couple other conferences, Michael, where we could say, you know what? This team that nobody's talking about, the odds would say that nobody even thinks is possible. There's a path for them to win, or this team to win, or that team to win. It kind of feels like outside of the tippy top with Ohio State and what Indiana's done, like after 8 weeks, I'm probably more confused than at the start of the season.
Oh, yeah. If you talk about the Big Ten, I mean, obviously Oregon is still kind of in the running. The scary thing is that Northwestern is still hanging around. Like, that feels crazy. And by the way, just for the record.
UCLA?
Right there. Oh, my gosh. They're right there. Like, how many three? Hang on. I'm going to count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I don't need the calculator for this. I can count it right on the screen. Okay? But I do always have the calculator. But you see, now you made me lose my train of thought. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There's seven teams that are 3-1 in the Big Ten. And you know who's not? Penn State.
Yes, that's been established.
These jokers are 0-4. That's wild.
Joe thinks they're going to lose at least six in a row, and they've got to four. He said this before the Iowa game, just to be clear. So he's got them losing, obviously, at Ohio State, which they will lose. Got them losing to Indiana. That'd be six.
Michigan State?
And then what if they lost out? What if they lost out?
Every game?
Oh, man. It's not good. I hope Michigan State does beat them just so that my wife can have like a good weekend. Cause she went to Michigan State. Truly she needs to have a good weekend, especially since the pool closed.
Okay. That's true. Okay. So what is the conference? The Big Ten isn't where you were going to go. What's the conference that stands out to you like, okay, this could be just complete chaos?
The ACC. And the scary thing with the ACC, obviously everyone's going to look at the standings. They're going to go Georgia Tech, Virginia, obviously. Virginia had to battle back this past weekend just to make it. SMU didn't see that coming from them, but they beat Clemson. Pitt is at 3-1. Duke's at 3-1. And Louisville, obviously goes out and gets a win. So this is going to be one of those things where you're just like, who's going to win? And what are the future? You guys tell me, because you guys, you're the Vegas guys. You guys tell me what the future say about this.
That it's not Miami. That's what it tells me.
Really?
They might not. Yeah. I mean, they might not get there with one loss. I mean, and who says they can't lose again, Michael?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. That's why I'm asking you guys. The craziest part is that Cal is sitting there at 2-1, and they're. Did you guys see the end of the UNC Cal game? By the way.
Mm-mm. No.
Well, no one did. The game started at 10:30 Eastern, and most people were either out or were asleep. It's 21-18. UNC is about to score a touchdown to take the lead. And then Austin they throw the football, Pacer. Not Pacer, it wasn't Pacer. It was, I can't remember his name. But anyways, throw the ball, catch it, gets it. He's at the 4. He's at the 5. At the 1.5-yard line, Austin punches the ball out. Touchback. Cowan. UNC Bill Belichick, or as they call it here, Chapel Bill, was going to get their first group of Power 4 win. And no, not going to happen. The worst way to lose. So, and I don't, speaking of teams that might lose out, I think UNC is one of those teams. And it really stinks. So they work for Tar Heel 24/7 and every week to come up with content where you have to try to make people excited about watching this football team. It's becoming increasingly harder.
So speaking of conferences that could be wide open, we had a detailed message, someone that was looking for our thoughts on the Big 12. And he brought it up because he's like, look, these odds are insane on this team. Like kind of hear me out. He's like, I think a lot of these teams are going to knock each other out with these teams that have one loss. Right now it's BYU, Cincinnati, both of them undefeated at 4-0. And he's like, look, BYU, Utah, Cincinnati, they all play one another, and they're probably going to knock each other out most likely. He's like, what about a Houston on a long shot price? Just getting to that point. Because he said he found him at 80-1. Do you think Houston can stay in that conversation as a lot of these teams start to cannibalize each other?
I think they can. I think Houston can. I think we got to worry about the health at Texas Tech, but I think Houston has the ability. But again, they're going to beat each other up once we get into November. BYU, Cincy, Arizona State is another one that I would play Arizona State because they're going to be an interest as long if they can be healthy. And that's the part that's the most interesting. And it's really the craziest part is I thought TCU was going to be the class. Like, I thought they were going to be the bell of the ball. And then now they're not. And they're 2-2 in league. And so you have to watch that. Baylor's interesting. K-State, I have no idea. Every single game that K-State plays, I don't know what's going to happen. And that's, to me, that makes me a little scared. Same with Utah. I think Kansas is incredibly dynamic. I just think they're undisciplined. UCF, another team that they start strong, and then there are several teams that kind of slow play you. Like, think about this. Like, UCF feels like the opposite of Georgia, where teams get a lead on them early with respect to Georgia, and then Georgia's like, guess what? We're bigger, faster, stronger. We'll do it. UCF is like, we're going to jump on you. And then we don't have a changeup. Shohei ain't showing up. So it's going to be interesting to see how they work, but they also can upset everybody's apple cart. I like BYU. I hate that their quarterback wears number 47. I do hate that, just personally. Like, if you're not John Lynch, what are you doing? And just pick a different number, man. Like, that's not a that number is not even good if you're a safety. Like, that's a bad number unless you're John Lynch. But they are finding ways to make it cook, and that's what you have to look. As a dad, as a husband, sometimes you got to fight. And as the main food preparer in my family, as the only, not main, only food preparer in my family, you do have to find ways to make it cook, and he does that pretty consistently. Cincinnati, they are really just, they are nailed in, man. And it's really cool to watch how they are screwed in. They don't get outside of phase. They do not lose their identity. They stick to their guns, and guess what? Their guns, they shoot, and they drop you. So, but Houston as a long shot play, I love that answer.
Speaking of cooking, UCLA has certainly cooked with three straight after launching their coach, but I don't know if they have the ingredients to go in Indiana and compete. The number is 25. Is this a blowout, 30 plus?
I think that Kurt Cinetti is – I would take the Bruins in the money line. I would. Because they are riding high, and they want to play football, which is different than what they look like at the start of the year. They look like they want to play football, and I think Indiana is looking at their future. We've mentioned futures already, but Indiana's looking at what they have down the line, and I think that they're going to try to get some other guys in the game, right? They're going to try to get some backups, some reps. So I don't think that they're going to – they're not going to do what they did to Illinois, which was that, what, 53-point win? I think this is a game where – they're not going to play it tight, but they win by double digits, but I don't think that they cover the number. So I don't think Indiana covers. I think the money line for UCLA makes more sense.
The points, you mean, not the money line.
Excuse me. Yes. Listen, I don't have all the language that you guys have. The spread. The spread for Indiana. Yes.
With Michael Felder here talking some college football, this is Bet Sweats, Joe O, Sammy P. So Sam threw out the idea, as we're as confused as ever with the Heisman race, because there's a new favorite every single week. This week, it happened to be Simpson. Last week, you know, Beck was a co-favorite. He was knocked out. We could go week by week. When guys become the favorite, something bad seems to happen.
Yeah.
Sam threw out the idea of Pavia. Number of times that he'll have to impress in SEC play, the chances that maybe Vandy could sneak into the playoff. What do you think about this week? They're hosting Missouri. They're a 2.5 to 3 point favorite.
I mean, Diego is a baller, dude. And they've introduced this offense that I don't think most people understand, or at least I don't think most college football players understand. And that's something that I actually wrote about. They're running this like weird version of the wing T with the orbit motion going back. And it made me think about high school and the coaches know what's happening. You can watch the coaches on the opposition. They know what's going on. LSU's defensive coordinator was like, no, don't do that. And the players didn't understand. So there's that. What do they have? They have Mizzou, Texas, Auburn, Kentucky, Tennessee. I don't have a ton of confidence in any of those teams. Maybe Tennessee, but they could make their way into the playoff if they get, if they sniff the SEC championship. I think he goes to New York City. Mm. I don't know if he wins, but I think he goes to New York City. And I also, I talked to a couple of Heisman voters, and I'm sorry. I just turned the heat on in my house because it got a little chilly. And so it's the gills are a little. But I just think that the reality for me is if they sniff the playoff, they sniff the SEC championship, he's going to New York City. I don't think enough people have watched him play, just to be fair.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I hear you. Anything on Ole Miss, Oklahoma? That's another game that people will be paying close attention to. Oklahoma's at home. They're favored by 4.5.
Oklahoma has bubbled up and just slowly. You know that kid in your class? It's like a big kid. You didn't know he was good at music. And also he's also on the football team. And you're like, where did this come from? And that's what Oklahoma is. Like, they are bruisers, but also they play a nice finesse game. And you get Mateer back, which remarkable recovery for him.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that they, I think I'm, give me Oklahoma. Give them to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I got it. Good stuff. Michael Felder at In the Bleachers. The stuff that you wrote on Vandy, where can people find that?
It's felder.substack.com, but they're running this wing tee. We saw Michigan do it as well with Underwood. And it's this whole idea of when you see the guys back, don't crash. Stay there because they're coming back to you.
Okay. Good stuff. Thank you, Michael. Always appreciate it. We'll talk about updated NFL awards markets on the other side. You've got BetSweats.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Why don't you just kill me? Just play every Taylor touchdown for the entire season. Why don't we do that? He's the man standing in my way. Welcome back, Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovich. Let's talk about some NFL awards, some notable movements that we want to get over. Maybe not as far as the placing, but odds movement after this past week in the National Football League. I guess we'll start there, Jonathan Taylor. Why do we hear the highlight there? Because he is your favorite for the Offensive Player of the Year. It is now even money for Jonathan Taylor. JSN, excellent game last night against a top-notch secondary in the Houston Texans. JSN is now second. He's been part of this conversation as fifth and fourth, just climbing the ladder, and then he has another good performance last night. He's the second favorite. The gap there is 5-1. So Taylor's plus 100. JSN is 5-1. Sam, your guy, Christian McCaffrey, is 8-1. Bijan Robinson this week, not a great game. He was awesome last week, but this week, not so much. He's 10-1 in that conversation. Puka's injured. Now Jamar Chase is there. So we could talk about the top of the board too, but you kind of threw out Gibbs earlier. He's 40-1 for offensive player. I hadn't looked at his season stats compared to the other top running backs, but maybe he can enter that conversation. If you even like him remotely at 40, it might be worth a play.
I think the issue there is that you have the touchdown vulture, David Montgomery, kind of stealing a lot of the scores away. down the road. Mm-hmm. You also have St. Brown. So there's a lot of very talented offensive cooks in the kitchen, and I think that hurts Gibbs. When you look at Indianapolis, it's the Taylor show. When you look at San Francisco, it's the McCaffrey show. JSN is the star show in Seattle. Puka Nacua in Los Angeles, right? Jamar Chase in Cincy. I think Gibbs is unfairly docked because there are other weapons that are very, very strong around him. 40-1 is 40-1, man. I mean, make a $20 bet at 40-1. That 40-1 adds up really quickly per dollar. So that would be something, wink, wink, that I would entertain, fully expecting him not to win. But 40-1 is 40-1. Bijan Robinson, after a monster game against Buffalo, he got bet a ton. And then Atlanta does what Atlanta does in these big bounce back spots. Not bounce back spots, but like you beat Buffalo on Monday night, and then you have to continue the momentum. And then you lose to San Francisco with Mac Jones on Sunday night. So Atlanta's very funny. Perennially the same team. Big win, loss. Big win, loss. It's mm-hmm. a very funny team. Very, very funny team. Gibbs at 40-1, though, seems a little high, no?
Yeah. What are we missing? It's the same number as his teammate, St. Brown. So that's a good point that you bring up there. Is he going to be the guy moving forward? These other situations, they're the guy. The guy ends up winning, right? But a lot of mouths to feed there. But they score a lot of points, too. So he could still get his game after game. We're saying this after he has a career-high mark in total yards. So there's a little recency bias as well. What about Chase? If it's Flacco the rest of the way, are you going to get this Chase? The last game and a half, he's been awesome. Been awesome with Flacco. Now he's 15-1. The number's dropping. Gertz is all excited that he has Jamar Chase and that Flacco's the guy, at least for the foreseeable future, we think. But you never know. He can go down to an injury. The man's 40.
The problem with the Flacco thing, we've seen this a ton over the years, where the backup comes in, or in this case, the new guy comes in midseason, and the first game goes well. And then everybody gets excited, and then Flacco's horrible in the next game. And then it's like, oh, mm-hmm. right, this is why he's getting traded at age 40. Like, yes. I don't know. With Carson Wentz, with Andy Dalton, you've seen that thing where, like last year in Carolina, they bench Bryce Young. Panthers win that game under Andy Dalton, and it's like, oh, Dalton's the guy. And then after a couple more games, they go, let's go back to Bryce Young. So I'm trying not to get too excited. Not to mention it was a Thursday night game. A lot of us watched it on Amazon Prime. Look, if you want to keep feeding Jamar Chase, that's one thing. I just don't think Joe Flacco is going to carry them to a playoff bid or anything like that. The reality is, and I think a lot of people feel this way, you can make good bets at decent numbers, but you gotta outlast Taylor. And if he stays healthy, is he losing this award? I don't know.
Sounds gruesome. I need an injury. That's how good Taylor's been. I have the second favorite. You have the third favorite. I'm not saying we want it, but that's what it's football. It's a running back. That's what probably has to happen for either of us to win, to be live for this.
Yeah.
That's the gap that
more likely is. Though, more likely that my guy gets hurt than Taylor, unfortunately.
Yes. Yes. That's the reality. I think it's funny that you pushed against that idea. He's been healthy. He's getting 30 touches a game. And now you're the one that keeps bringing up, man, CMC is about to go down any week now.
You know it's going to happen because he's just dominating. And he basically got me to a fantasy win because he had 39 points on my injury-riddled, disease-blasted team. Like, McCaffrey's the only thing saving me afloat or keeping me afloat. And I'm waiting because everybody else is getting hurt in San Francisco. There's got to be something in the water there.
Yep. Yeah, Jack has CMC. He's undefeated. He's very excited. He thinks he's the best player in football because of the season that he's putting together fantasy-wise. MVPs we're talking about. As far as the order of the players, we don't see a ton of change at the top. It's still Mahomes, Allen, Baker. But the odds for Baker have dropped after last night. They lose on the road. It's kind of a non-competitive game. He dropped back to throw it 50 times, and he didn't have very good numbers. You pointed that out. Here's the headline in the MVP race. Drake May has arrived. Drake May is your fourth favorite. He's 10-1, and he's right behind Baker. After we get some action into this and people start looking at the numbers and more chatter about May, May's probably going to get bet when people realize how soft his schedule is moving forward. I could see May moving to the third favorite before we get to the games this weekend.
I saw a meme on Twitter either yesterday or on Sunday. It was a woman at the bottom of a staircase wearing a Patriots jersey, and then every step was the next team on the schedule. And I don't remember exactly like what the records were, but essentially it was one win team, two win team, one win team. You're like, wow, this is just, they're just going to keep pounding trash. And look, we may not like it because I don't think the Patriots are that good, but if you don't like it, just join them. If you can't beat them, join them. I'm not saying Drake May is the most valuable player in the league, but there's a world where they rattle off. I mean, the schedule is so bad. So bad. And right now the Patriots have exceeded expectations at 5-2. Browns, Falcons, Bucks, Jets, Bengals, Giants. Whew. Man, that's an easy sled. Now, who's healthy for Tampa when they play? I don't think Burrow's back yet for that game November 23rd. You could win four of the next five of the next six games. At which point Drake May's what? It's not 10-1 anymore.
He has a test this weekend in Cleveland. It's not Cleveland in Cleveland. You're back home in Foxborough after a three-game road trip. But just taking a look, this is the best defense he's going to face all year, and it's not close. So if he passes this test with flying colors, come on. Is he going to crack the top two? I don't know. But he'll be right there. I think he's going to be the third favorite at some point this week. And you're right about it. So to that point, I was looking at the division odds. And you know, Buffalo doesn't play. New England takes care of Tennessee quite easily. I'm like, if you told me before the year, okay, at this point in the season, you're going to be able to get Buffalo at a cheap price. It's less than $2, meaning less than minus 200, right? I would have said, oh, you got to bet that. What's the record? Oh, you got to bet that. It's Buffalo minus 165. But I don't want to do that because where are the losses for New England? It could lose. It doesn't mean the Bills stink, but it just could be like Minnesota last year when New England ends up with 13 wins on the year.
It's not like people run from the new thing either. The new toy, the hot trend, voters are enamored by that stuff. And I think you're going to start to hear, oh, he's the next Brady. And if that thought process blankets a nation, you're going to see votes for Drake May. I'm not saying he's going to win it, but for him to be 50-1 before the season and national media saying, we don't know if he's good yet, to see what he's done since the summer and just continue to elevate his play and throw these beautiful deep balls. I mean, he threw a ball on Sunday. I almost fell out of my chair. That touchdown pass to Kayshon Booty, where only he could catch it. It was an unbelievable throw. I was sitting in this chair watching the TV directly in front of me like, holy cow. Like, that's a laser. And Booty catches it like right on the tips of his fingers. It's a beautiful throw, beautiful catch. Not many quarterbacks can make that throw. And the fact that he's so young and he keeps getting better and keeps taking steps forward, they have a quarterback. They definitely do.
Buddy was going to drop that when he fell to the ground in the end zone. I was like, hold on, because I had a lot of New England in Survivor. I didn't think he was going to hold on to that. I thought he was just going to drop it. That was an amazing play on both sides.
Did you see the pregame feature with Kayshon Booty?
Uh-uh.
I'm paraphrasing here, but he basically said he stopped gambling and his life turned around.
Stop it.
Well, he was caught with the – he was caught making bets a couple years ago.
Stop. He ain't stopping.
He didn't stop. It's kind of like when they caught Calvin Ridley in Florida. How'd they catch him? Yeah. Well, he signed up using his own name, Calvin Ridley. That's how they caught him.
There's this Green Book account under the name Calvin Ridley. That's how they got him.
I just thought that was very ironic that we do a gambling show every day. And I meant to bring it up yesterday, but Kayshon Booty, it was like a walk and talk where the reporter was holding the mic and they were walking down the field together and she brought up the gambling and he's like, yeah, I stopped gambling and I turned my life around. And I'm like, that should be a drop on our show.
No. Yeah. Yeah. My life's in shambles. Well, it kind of is. Do you think Dart should remain the favorite for Offensive Rookie of the Year? He's about even money. Still is. Yeah, I mean, they almost win, but they don't. What do you think?
Wasn't his fault they lost. So, yeah. I mean, they put up 30 points in Denver. It's not his fault. And they cut to him after the game, just like home alone face. Like, how did we lose? Oh, we just gave up 33 points in the fourth quarter. That's how we lost. Who do you want? Like, who do you want to take him down with? Abuka?
Abuka didn't goes do back much to last 250. Night.
Yeah, but him being available is almost more than the production last night. Just like coming back, the return. Not a lot of guys would have played in that game. Are you betting Tyler Warren? I'm not. And no. You bet Judkins 30-1. I think that was a tremendous bet, considering BetMGM has him now 12-1.
Yeah. I feel good about my positions. I have Dart and Judkins. I would do better with the Judkins win, but I feel good about the Dart one too. We talked about that plenty. It's about time in the market. Wow. Yeah. Both of these guys, they were in the 30s during the season. Both of these guys. So I think there's a good chance one of them wins.
You have Dart at 30, but Judkins would be better? That's crazy.
Because I bet him again this weekend at 30 before the game. That's why.
Yeah, you did.
yeah, so I happy with my position there. What about Coach? Can somebody beat Steichen? Vrabel? Are those the two that really stand out, or are there other coaches that we're missing in this conversation?
What if the Niners go 13-4 with you and me playing offense? No Shanahan?
No, that's a winner. That feels good. He'll get a lot of credit. A lot of the media loves him to begin with. So who gets credit on that team if they have an amazing year? What about the guy that won last night, McDonald? He's in the 20s.
I'm surprised he's that high. They're 5-2.
Yeah. I know. Ben Johnson, 20-1.
Good, better, best.
Turnovers a game.
Yep.
Turnovers every single game.
That's coaching. Yes. It's all coaching.
Pretty open. Joe O, Sammy P, Betsweats, Will Brinson, top of the hour. This is the BetMGM Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Game 7, fun last night. We had to hang on for our unders. It does get home. Under 7.5 ends up hitting. Each of us had that one. We gave that one out. Yesterday, we got our winner. It's Toronto, so Sam's happy. We're heads up, man. We're heads up in the World Series. I've got the Dodgers. You got the Blue Jays. You grabbed that right before the playoffs, I believe. What number did you grab?
Not a good one. 8-1.
Okay. 8-1. But hey, you looked at the field. You were talking to somebody who's pretty smart. Was like, you should bet the Blue Jays. So not a bad idea. You have to be happy with where you are right now. Before the year, just a monster number on the Blue Jays. People not thinking that this was going to happen. And here we sit. It's the Jays and the Dodgers. It starts on Friday. So each day we'll get more and more markets that are available. But we like to talk about the World Series MVP. We've been revisiting this a number of times. When most people would say, well, you got to go Vladdy, got to go Springer, must go Ohtani or Betts. They're probably making it a list of four. We have a much more expansive list because we know the history of the award, that you're going to find guys that you think are no-name guys, that you can find good numbers in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s, and they're batting in the top five spots of the winning lineup, and then they end up taking the award because it is well-deserved. It is not always the star player. Sometimes it is. A lot of times it isn't. We've talked about Soler with the Braves. You know, Zobrist, the year with the Cubs, that he was about 20-25-1. This is something that you can always find a lot of value in. And the earlier you bet it, of course, before they get to the World Series, those are the best numbers that you're going to find. But don't go in thinking you have to bet star players. It could be a star player. We've seen Corey Seager win this a couple of times. But no, it's a lot more open than people realize. Sam, I don't think there's a pitcher in play. Once in a while there is. We've seen it with Mad Bum. We were talking about if Detroit would have made a run, that maybe Scubo could do it. But I don't really see a pitch, unless you're talking about Ohtani, that we could see a few different times and they could make that sort of an impact. Do you?
It would be hitter, hitter, hitter. Oh, here we go. I have the odds right here. Hitter, 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 pitcher. The first pitcher. You want to guess who the first pitcher is without looking?
Oh, it's not Ohtani then.
Well, not counting Ohtani. He's a unicorn. Yeah, I meant solely a pitcher. Pitcher only. Who's the first one?
Did they go?
Jake's guy.
It's a Dodger guy. Oh, Glasnow?
No, Snell.
Oh, Snell. Screw him. He sucks. Glasnow's better.
Blake Snell.
It's not Yamamoto.
No, Yamamoto. Oh, what a 25.
Ridiculous price. That's
Bieber
silly.
50, Glasnow 50, Sasaki 50, Gaussman 66, Scherzer 100. We could probably stop there. But this is an offensive World Series, one would think. And the total for game number one is only 7.5, which is a little surprising. That feels a little light. But then again, you have the rest and the rust. I mean, this game doesn't start until Friday night. So the layoff certainly plays into it. I would be looking over, to be honest with you, in game number one. And I would be looking at hitters only, to your point. What?
These offenses are awesome. Like, you're going over it. I'm like, yeah, man, 7.5 is a crazy number to me.
Just feels a little light. But then again, you do get ace-ace, which we understand. Like, odds are good. That's the best pitching matchup of the entire series. So these teams have the ability to stack their rotations accordingly. And you're going to get their best in game number one on Friday night. I keep looking at Teoscar, 13-1. You got what, 100?
100.
Prick.
100 on Teoscar.
We talked about it.
I know. I'm only saying that because I'm salty. I've been salty all day with the
I'm mad with you on that one. Yeah.
Teoscar 100-1 World Series MVP. Corby's on chicken dinner, like, oh, Teoscar 100-1. And then he didn't bet it either.
He didn't bet it.
No, you're the only one that bet it. I think you and Paul both bet it. Corby and I didn't even bet it.
Come on, Corby. I would have thought he would have bet it for sure.
He just has Dodgers. He was betting Dodgers when the Phillies went to the favorite, 4-1 or so. They pushed the Dodgers out to 6. And Corby was like, I'm in at 6. And then he bet him again at 5. And then they clobbered game 1 and he bet him again. So it's just he's been accumulating Dodger stock at good prices. Now, he's not going to come in now and lay 240 because he's already got – I'm guessing – I'll have him on tonight. We're going to do a show tonight. I'm guessing that he may take a little bit of Toronto at 2-1. Just a little bit. That's my guess. I have no idea. Mm-hmm. But he's got all this Dodger stock at 6 and 5 and I think 475. He's in a spot now where he could either roll it as a 240 favorite – or he could bet a little Toronto to win the series at 2-1.
I kind of don't think he will. I think he's going to stay with his position. He's so strong on them, and I get it. You know, Ohtani is such a favorite for the World Series MVP. At plus 170, I'm quickly realizing that we can find a lot of value elsewhere on the board. You know Mookie Betts is 22-1? It's freaking Mookie Betts. And he hits second in that lineup after Ohtani. So there's some, and you get Vladdy up there, of course, Springer, after what he did last night and what he's done throughout his entire career. There's a lot of good numbers on some players. Jake, I want to bring in you really quick. World Series MVP, where should we be starting this conversation? None of us are going to bet Ohtani at less than 2-1. I get that. But what about the other names? Where's the value?
The bet's 22-1. Is crazy. Like, I think that's kind of insane. Are we forgetting who this guy is? I think that's for sure a bet if you want to go elsewhere with Dodgers. Never any of the pitchers. Like Sam said, this is going to be runs galore, and Snell being the first guy is very funny, but for obvious reasons, no bias, of course. But I think it's pick your guys in the lineup. I think there's a 35 on Muncy still. I think that's really good. If we were going to go other Dodgers, I'm really glad that I bet Springer last weekend because I saw where this was going. So like I obviously have a bunch of Dodgers. I added a couple Blue Jays World Series MVPs last weekend just to try and get some investment on the other side. So I have Springer. I think Varsho is interesting still. I've been talking about him for a couple weeks because he could pop off. He had a decent series as well. He's been playing well. But as far as the Dodgers, I think Betts 22 and Muncy 35 if you're trying to look for some guys.
Betts and Muncy. Okay. What about and on the Toronto side, you said Varsho. He's 30. What about their 2-4 hitters? Those numbers are in the 50s. Kirk's 50. People love Kirk. Because he's
worse,
fat.
Yeah, because he's Bichette a big hitter. Fat guy.
Where's Bichette going to hit when he comes back?
Yeah.
I mean, you would think one or two. Like, Nathan Lukes is he's a zero to me.
He's
like,
a zero. Okay.
Especially if Bichette's saying he's going to come back. Lukes is the first guy on the chopping block. So even if they split time together, then they're both a zero. If neither of them are going to play every game, then they're both out. As far as Kirk goes, sure, he's a fun story and people like him. All the dude does is hit singles. Like he's the four hitter, but it's because he gets on base. And then you have Varsho and Barger behind him. Honestly, I looked at Barger. I know he hit sixth. Clement, interesting. I looked at him too. It's just that's the nine hitter. You kind of got to do some mental gymnastics with that one too. I looked at Barger, honestly. I saw 60 this morning on him. He had a really good series in the ALCS, plays the outfield, can make a couple of decent defensive plays to boost his stock a little bit, multi-hits, couple extra base hits. I know he hit sixth, but it's kind of right on that cut line, right? So he was somebody that kind of I was thinking about this morning.
Okay.
Hmm. You want to tell him about our text exchange last night, Jake, about bunting?
It worked out for them. But
before,
like,
the Springer homer? The sacrifice bunt? Giving up the out?
Yeah. Like, I mean, it worked out for you, thankfully. But, I mean, Jimenez has been awesome for you all series, and you're just giving him an out just because you're afraid of a double play.
The Mariners. The Mariners bunting in the top of the ninth when they were, like, the guy came up to the plate, nobody on, nobody out, laid down a bunt, and I texted Jake, no bunting from eastbound and down. You've seen eastbound and down, right, Joe?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The scene between Will Ferrell and Craig Robinson when they're at the car dealership. And Stevie yells, no bunting. And Craig Robinson's like, ain't nobody trying to bunt. Oh, my God. It's one of the funniest scenes in the history of television. The outtakes alone from that scene when Craig Robinson and Danny McBride are like, staring at each other face to face, and Will Ferrell's trying to make him laugh. Oh my God, it's so funny. No bunting.
Let the boy watch.
Jake had never seen it, so I had to send him the video.
What?
I couldn't believe it.
I was a shelter child.
It's so good. The boy watch.
Well, do you remember what Craig Robinson says? When he says, ain't nobody trying to bunt. And then he says, I'm trying to knock it to the bleeping moon. Yes.
So good.
Oh, so funny.
I loved it when I forgot who it was, who was on the mound. But they were showing bunt early on. They almost decked him. That's what you have to do. Pitch like 3 feet inside. We started to see that. You see teams are like, have had enough of this. I don't understand. Just taking the automatic out, I'm not with that. Those are some good looks, though, Jake. It's confusing with Toronto. You don't know where to go. If you're not doing Vladdy, if you're not doing the short number thing, it's tough. It could be any of them. That's a good number on bets. There's no reason for him to be 22-1. That's kind of silly. Joe O, Sammy P, keep things rolling here. Another hour up next. Will Brinson will drop by to talk some National Football League. A Survivor first look next hour as well on the BetMGM Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.